To the left-hand side for Vieira, who'll play it through to Gabriel Jesus, who's in here for Arsenal. Gabriel Jesus to finish it off. Oh, what a way to do it! Gabriel Jesus seals the points for Arsenal. He's back, and he's back with a bang.
Into the penalty area it goes. Gabriel header, and it's into the back of the net. Arsenal take an early lead through Gabriel.
You're listening to the Chronicles of Aguna, the daily Arsenal podcast with me, Harry Simeon.
Hey everybody, happy match day. How's it going? Welcome back to another live episode of the Chronicles of Aguna podcast with me, your host, Harry Simeon. On this episode, we're going to be looking ahead to Arsenal versus Chelsea, which takes place this evening. Can the Gunners continue to apply the pressure at the top of the table? I know we go into this game top of the league, but really that's a bit of a kind of red herring because of the fact that we've played more games than Manchester City. The reason I say can we continue to put the pressure on is because I really do believe that if we can get 6 points from the next two games, there is a chance. There is a real, real chance. I thought it was imperative that we won at Wolves, and I think it's really important that we follow that up with a home victory tonight so that we've put 6 points on the board during the period in which Manchester City haven't played a Premier League game. Not because it means that we are definitely going to go on and win the league, but because it just adds that bit of pressure to them, that extra bit of pressure that might make the difference in this title race. Oh, I don't even want to think about it because it gets me sort of excited on the one hand, but really nervous with the other. It's a really, look, I love being in these title races and I love the fact that we are there and we're in the conversation, but my God, they are stressful, aren't they? Big hello to everybody joining us. Apologies to those of you that have been waiting to tune in live for the slight delay in the start time. I logged on, was about to press go live and my internet connection was clearly not at its usual speed. Did a little speed test and realized that it was well down. So decided to reset the router. And anybody who has a Virgin Media router will know that when you reset it, sometimes it takes 6 or 7 minutes to get you back online. But here we are. We are live, hopefully coming through loud and clear. And we're going to talk about that game. But we're also going to talk about Jurrien Timber's return. I was lucky enough to be commentating on this one for Arsenal.com alongside former Gunner Perry Groves. A big thank you to everybody that tuned in because I had loads and loads of messages yesterday on X mainly when we finished the game from people saying like great job and all of that. And look, I know I've got a long, long way to go in terms of sort of improving as a commentator, but I'm so grateful for these opportunities. You know, you're always grateful for any opportunity that allows you to kind of learn and develop your skills. But to be able to do it for my own club is amazing and a dream come true. So big thanks to everybody who tuned in. And a thank you to the team at Arsenal as well for trusting me. A friend of mine said to me in the morning, wouldn't it be quite something if Jurrien Timber was to score a goal in that game? Wouldn't that be quite the moment, given that he's been out for a long, long time? And I thought, yeah, that's what dreams are made of. Then I learned that he was playing, that he was going to play 45 minutes. I learned that he was going to play at left back. And I thought, well, we're probably not going to get that goal moment. But, you know, I'll put something together nice to talk about Jurrien Timber, given that, of course, he's been out for such a long time. He only managed to get through the first 45 minutes, maybe 50 minutes of his first Premier League season before pulling up with that injury. There's been a lot of debate as to whether he suffered the injury in the first half and it just went undetected or if it was something that he'd done in the second half. None of that matters now. What matters is that Jurrien Timber, who's a fantastic player, is back and is working his way towards his peak fitness level. He's almost a bit unlucky, actually, that you know he's coming towards the end of the season now because he probably isn't going to have that time to you know build a long stretch of games and sort of get himself back close to his best. I guess when you come back from an injury like that, you're probably going to have some minor setbacks along the way in terms of maybe muscle pulls and things like that. If that's going to happen, maybe it's better that it happens over the course of the summer where he can recover, et cetera, et cetera. Will he be part of the Dutch squad for the Euros? That's another interesting discussion and debate. He'll have to take his time in terms of, you know, getting to the place where he can be really sort of committed and take on a full summer. But when you've missed the whole season, I guess probably playing in the summer isn't going to have that much of an impact. If anything, it's going to help him get up to full sharpness quicker for the Arsenal. That's kind of the way I prefer to frame that. Let me say a few hellos to those of you in the live chat. Zebik is with us. Ryan is with us. Zed Tom is with us. Robert said, Harry, you can start a barbecue quicker than starting your router. You're not wrong, mate. You're not wrong. A couple of fire lighters, a little bit of oil as well on the charcoal, and poof, off it goes. We've got Derek joining us. We've got Baz. Hope you're good. Dean is joining us from New Zealand. We've got Ajay joining us, who says, hope we smash this Chelsea team that's missing a few players, especially considering we are playing at the Emirates. It does look like Cole Palmer is going to be unavailable to Chelsea tonight, which is a big boost. I think Cole Palmer, a bit like me, has caught a bit of a cold from what we're hearing. But I wouldn't put it past Maurizio Pochettino and Chelsea to name him in the squad later on this evening. So I'm not getting too carried away by that news. But if he's not available, then that is a boost for us. You have to say that, because he has been Chelsea's best player, I would say, this season by quite some distance. Brian Conlon's not quite as positive. He says, I fear yet another Zinchenko / Kivior disaster masterclass incoming. I don't know who Mikel Arteta is going to go with at left back, and we'll talk about the lineup in a little bit. It's interesting. Do you regard Chelsea now as one of those teams where you can get away with playing Zinchenko and having him roam into midfield, which is something we've tended not to do really in certain games, particularly in this second half of the season? We've opted to go with a more defensive option at left back rather than a drifter, if you like Zinchenko. And I don't mean that in a negative sense. I know how that might sound. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what Mikel does in that position. Kivior, people are giving Kivior a really hard time at the moment. I don't think he deserves it. I still maintain what I said earlier on in the season. Jakub Kivior, if everybody was fit, would be the fourth choice left back. But we've had to use him at times. We've had to bring him in to give us a bit more stability than Zinchenko does. Yes, we lose a bit in midfield and we lose a bit of that ability to progress the ball from deep when he plays. And he has been isolated in certain incidents and been made to look not very good. But the truth is that he's come up against some really, really talented wingers at points. And I think they are the type of players that would have given Zinchenko nightmares too, that might have given Tomiyasu a hard time had he been fit and available. So, you know, like, for example, the Leroy Sané example of the other week against Bayern, everybody was going, well, Kivior got roasted in that first half. Leroy Sané roasts most people. And I think you need to apply that context. Guna 73 says, need to keep the pressure on with a win tonight. Pep complaining about tiredness is showing a chink in their armor. He knows what he's doing, Pep Guardiola. And I said this on the 90 Min show the other day. Although you look at Man City and you go, you've got a squad that's been assembled for like well over £1 billion. You've got the best manager in the world. You should not be moaning about these types of things. If you zoom out and you sort of remove the tribalism from the conversation, the schedule is a joke. And the only way that that's ever going to change is if all of the managers affected, and I'm not just talking about Pep, Klopp and Mikel, I'm talking about right the way down the league, unless everybody kind of gets together and makes a case about this and, you know, really kind of hammers that point home to those that can have some influence over this, then, you know, nothing is going to change, because the tribalism always takes over. So one week it'll be Jurgen Klopp moaning and the Arsenal fans and the Man City fans will go, oh, shush, get on with it. The next week it'll be Mikel Arteta and the City and Liverpool fans will be saying the same thing. And the next week it'll be, you know, the other manager and the other two sets of supporters will be up in arms about it. So I think we do have a problem with the scheduling. You know, Manchester City were complaining, obviously, at the fact that they played in Europe. And then, of course, you know, they had the game against Chelsea on the Saturday. They felt it should have been played on the Sunday. They obviously are in action again on Wednesday. We're in action on Tuesday. We played on Saturday night later than Manchester City did. We played on the same night as them in the Champions League. And we play on Tuesday rather than Wednesday because of the TV rights. And it is frustrating and it is annoying. Alan Shearer made the point to Pep Guardiola in a BBC interview at the weekend where he said, well, why don't you just rotate more? And Pep Guardiola went, well, we rotated when we played Liverpool, a little while back in this competition, and we were 3-0 down at halftime. So it kind of makes the point and hammers home the point again that even the richest of the richest, even the wealthiest in terms of squad depth, not just finances, you know, you rotate, you do lose something. You take out some of your best players and replace them with good players, but players not quite as good as them, because as I maintain, it's impossible to have, you know, for example, there's only 3 or 4 world-class defensive midfielders in world football. How many of them, or what's the likelihood that you're able to kind of stockpile all of them? You can't. So like at City, if Rodri's out, there isn't anybody else that can do that job in the same way that Rodri can. If Arsenal lose Bukayo Saka, there isn't someone that could do the same job he can. You get this, right? No matter how deep the squad is. And rotation is a really, really difficult thing to master. And I've talked about it at length on the last episode. Please go and check it out. We talked about whether or not Mikel Arteta rotates enough. I don't want to spoil that pod for you if you haven't listened to it. So go back and check it out. But, you know, rotation isn't cut and dry. It isn't a very simple thing that you can just decide to do and then implement effectively without any in-depth thought and sort of effort and consideration for a number of really, really important factors. John Daly says his meeting went on for too long, so he's glad he's not missed this one. Robert says, I think tonight is the trickiest game of the remaining fixtures. It's certainly up there. DJ Ashby says, morning, mate. Fantastic commentary last night. Thank you very, very much. Really, really do appreciate it. We're going to talk a little bit about Jurrien Timber's performance in a minute. But before we do that, I want to show you the goal that he scored. You can listen to my commentary on it as well. If you are listening on audio, you'll be able to hear the goal as it goes in. But I just want to share this with you because I think it was a really, really good goal from Jurrien Timber. And it was a moment that I have to say I didn't see coming. Let me just make sure that when I do the screen share, I'm sharing the audio as well. Hold on a second. Share screen, Chrome tab. There we go. The X1 share tab audio as well. Okay. Here we go. Here's Jurrien Timber's goal against Blackburn Rovers last night. Let me play that for you now.
Play forward brilliantly through the lines to Jurrien Timber, who's inside the Blackburn area and gets the shot off. And what a goal that is from Jurrien Timber. What a return to competitive football for the Dutchman. It's a return to action that's been 254 days in the making. And what a way to mark the occasion. Jurrien Timber with a stunning finish.
Fantastic technique from Jurrien Timber. It's actually gone from Timber in off the wood.
That's played forward brilliantly.
There it is, Jurrien Timber. Coming into the side at left back, a position that I think he probably would have played a lot in for Arsenal this season had he been fit and available. And, you know, I watched him last night and I just thought, what a shame it is. What a real shame it is that we've been without this player all season, because he really, really is special. Really sort of forward thinking. If I'm being honest, I think after about 20 minutes, 25 minutes, maybe slightly longer than that, he did gas out a little bit. But that is completely understandable and to be expected when somebody has been out for as long as he has. He's been out for 254 days, I think I said in the commentary. And when you come back into a competitive football environment, and people will say, well, it's the under-21s. It's still competitive football. It's still the Premier League too. Okay, the level isn't the same. I would argue that the intensity isn't the same. But you can't ever replicate what you'll get against an external opponent in a competitive game on the training ground. So you need to come through these moments. And there were a couple of times where he looked like he was just limping a little bit towards the end of the first half. I do know that the intention was only ever for him to play 45 minutes. So it wasn't a case of Jurrien Timber, you know, picking up a problem and having to go off. That was always the plan. It was always pre sort of meditated that that was going to be the case, that that was what he was going to do. And he managed to, you know, to, I think, really elevate the level of those young players around him. If you look at the performance of the under 21s in that first half an hour, for example, where Jurrien Timber was not, I'm not going to say at his best, but at a really, really good level. And then you compare what happened after that when Jurrien Timber's fitness levels started to let him down a little bit. It was just completely different. Like, and he was elevating the level by sort of talking people through the game, drifting into that midfield position that Oleksandr Zinchenko does, getting on the ball, making positive runs down that left-hand side, playing progressive passes at every opportunity. And he had the confidence to, when he received the ball just inside the penalty area, to turn back around, open up his right boot and whip one into the top corner. Now, that comes from, you know, probably feeling really, really confident about, you know, that particular game, because he knows he's the season pro. It's mad because he's 22 years old, Jurrien Timber. 22 years old, but he played over 120 league games for Ajax before making that move to Arsenal. And I was talking to Perry Groves about this last night, and I said, you know, for me, the problem with academy football these days is that I don't think it conditions you for, you know, for what's to come when you then move into the men's game. And Perry Groves said that he always looked at it in the past when he was playing, that by the age of sort of 21, 22, you probably should have played around about 100 league games at whatever level. Now, a lot of these players are coming up to sort of 19, you know, 18, 19, 20, 21, and very few of them have got any Premier League experience whatsoever. And that's where maybe you need to take the decision to then go out on loan and try, you know, and try and build yourself up that way. But for Timber to come in and deliver a moment like that was just a dream for me, and I'm sure for a lot of people that were watching on as well. So big shout out to Jurrien Timber. Really, really enjoyed his performance. Really enjoyed his display. As I say, he ran out of gas probably after around about the half an hour mark, but that was always going to happen. He looked like he was maybe limping a little bit, but that's probably just muscles tightening up. It happens. It's part and parcel of the recovery process. Some have suggested today that they were hoping he'd be in the squad at Chelsea. That is absolutely not going to happen, in my opinion. He will be considered for the game at Spurs at the weekend, but he's certainly not going to start that game. He just needs to start getting on and experiencing a few minutes here and there, you know, at Premier League level, at Premier League pace and at Premier League intensity. But that's going to be dictated by whether or not the game states allow that, because you can't carry a passenger. And Jurrien Timber, if you were to throw him in at left back tonight, for example, forget that he played yesterday, just based on where his fitness is at the minute, he'd look lost because the drop off is so big. But obviously, great to see him back. Delighted to have been able to cover the game. And I really, really enjoyed that particular moment. Short pause, and then we're going to focus on tonight's game. Chelsea are the visitors to Emirates Stadium in a London derby that means so much. Welcome back to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast, coming to you live on this Tuesday morning as we continue our build-up to a big, big game at Emirates Stadium tonight. Arsenal taking on Chelsea, a Chelsea side that I don't really know what to make of at this moment in time. You never really know what you're going to get from them. They are a side that clearly have a lot of talented players. They are a side that have really struggled for consistency this season. Maurizio Pochettino has been under a lot of pressure. And I think, you know, the pressure that's on Maurizio Pochettino is as a consequence and as a result of how successful that football club has been over the last couple of decades. The Todd Boehly era hasn't looked great so far. You can understand what they were trying to go for by bringing in a load of young players, et cetera, et cetera. But to think that that was all going to work and that everything was going to click really early on was naive. They made it to the League Cup final. They made it to the FA Cup semi-final, where there's absolutely no disgrace in losing to City. But, you know, the fact that they haven't been able to get their hands on any silverware and that their Premier League finish is going to be so underwhelming, probably, is why a lot of Chelsea fans are asking questions. I would suggest that the questions need to be asked more so of the ownership, more so of Todd Boehly, and their recruitment strategy rather than Maurizio Pochettino himself. But I do think he's made some decisions that are quite questionable. And, you know, given his Spurs connections, he was never going to get the time and the love from the Chelsea fans that maybe somebody else would have got. Having said all of that, and having watched them at the weekend miss a host of really good opportunities and the chance to put Manchester City to the sword and reach a second domestic cup final this season, I'm worried about them because they are a side that can create chances. You can only miss so many. You know, they are a side that create opportunities. They're a side that have a lot of pace. They've got a lot of options. And when you think about the fact that, yeah, okay, they played on Saturday just like us, but that they've played so many fewer games than Arsenal this season, you'd expect them to probably have more in the tank. And this is where Arsenal really need to dig into the reserves. I talked about this after the Wolves game. I felt like Declan Rice found a second wind. It was almost as if he sort of dipped into the reserves because mentally he was able to kind of break through that barrier of feeling tired and fatigued. And that just gave him that little bit extra that we needed at the end of the game to make sure that we saw it out. And I think that, you know, this is what Arsenal need now. They need kind of the vibes, if you like, to kind of carry them through and give them that little bit of an extra boost, even when their bodies, you know, are telling them no. It was interesting to listen to William Saliba as well over the last few days, who actually sort of put my theory to shit, basically, by saying that actually for him, it's more about being tired mentally than it is physically. And, you know, I thought that was really, really interesting because I would think that it's probably the other way around a little bit, given that, you know, you're mentally, you should be all in, you should be engaged. And yes, it's draining going into every single game with that huge demand to win. And then you have a couple of setbacks like we did against Villa and then the second leg against Bayern Munich. And you wonder how the team's going to recover. What I thought was so, so interesting now, having had a few days to reflect on the Wolves victory, or so positive, I should say, is the fact that they never looked to me like they weren't trying or that they didn't care. And if their bodies weren't at 100% and if they were a little bit lax as a result of that, I can kind of live with that because we got the result. But the fact that there was that desire there and you could see what it meant to the whole team when the second goal went in particular, I think says that we're all in on this. And we might not win the Premier League. We probably won't. But we need to keep fighting. We need to keep going. And we've got two huge London derbies now. Tonight's one against Chelsea. And then, of course, we go to Spurs at the weekend. And I just think if we could take 6 points from those two games, that could be huge. Can we afford to take less? Probably not. You're kind of hoping that Manchester City drop something against Brighton. You're hoping that maybe Liverpool drop something against Everton. Merseyside derby coming up tomorrow night. But unless that happens, then there's nothing less than 6 points that will do for Arsenal. So we just need to be focused on, you know, taking maximum points. And if those teams did drop points and we were still able to take maximum points, imagine what that would do for our chances going into the last handful of games. Incredible. Oh, I'm getting nervous talking about it. Let's talk a little bit about the starting lineup tonight. What would you guys like to see? Let me know in the comments while you're doing that. I'll just read out a few more comments. Thank you to Tom and to AU Guna for your very, very kind words. And to Mario as well, who says, Harry, what a great job on the commentary yesterday and partnered with the great Perry Groves, no less. Stuff of dreams, mate. Well done. Thank you so much. Perry Groves is so witty in his sort of commentary and some of the things he comes out with that, like, I felt like I was a bit slow yesterday. Like, I was like, did I just clock that? Like, was that a joke? Was it not a joke? Like, it took me a few seconds to process stuff, but it was really, really good. Really, really good. All right, let's talk about the lineup that I'd like to see play tonight then. Does rotation need to be done here? Do we need to see a bit of that? Well, first of all, the first sort of major decision I think I would make if I was Mikel Arteta is at left back. We talked about the positions that we tend to rotate in and the ones that we don't, and left back is certainly one of them. I would go with Tomiyasu tonight because I think that Chelsea are a side that do pose a threat in the wide areas. They might not always be the end product that you get from some of the others in the division, but those players can cause us trouble. They run channels really well. They work spaces in behind really well. And I think we need to go with a defender more than a controller in this particular position. And so Takahiro Tomiyasu would start a left back for me. As a result of that, if you're talking about removing a potential controller from that left back position in Zinchenko, you need a controller in the middle. And so I would go with Jorginho there alongside Rice and Odegaard. Look, I've been saying for a few weeks now, and excuse my voice a little, I'm still really bunged up. I've been saying for a little while that I would like to see Thomas Partey starting. And I feel like we should have been at the point by now where he's ready and able to do that. For whatever reason, Mikel Arteta's not done that. And I can only assume that the reason he's not done that is because he doesn't believe that Partey, fitness-wise, is where he needs to be. If he was, he'd be playing alongside Declan Rice and Martin Odegaard for me tonight. But based on that assumption that I have to make because of how sparingly he's been used, I'm going to go with Jorginho tonight. I'm in two minds who should play on the left flank because, you know, Leandro Trossard is contributing goals. And I've said it for a while now, I do believe he's the best finisher at Arsenal Football Club. And in a game where you're probably not going to get a lot of chances, you would make a strong case, wouldn't you, that says, I need my best finisher on the pitch. But rotation or keeping things fresh, it kind of needs to happen. And as much as it's not as simple and as black and white, which is something that I keep saying, as maybe some people make it out, I do think that you need to freshen it up somewhere. And I don't think you can freshen it up on the right because I think Saka is just head and shoulders above anybody else that we have in that position. And so I'd probably make the change on the left-hand side. I guess it kind of depends on what Mikel's looking at ahead of Sunday as well. Now, I'm not suggesting for a second that he should take his eye off of the ball tonight because he's worried about what might happen at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium on Sunday. But if the intention is to use Martinelli on Sunday because, you know, Ange Postecoglou likes to play with a high line and they're going to be at home and you expect them to be on the front foot, then maybe, you know, you play Trossard tonight. But I personally would go with Martinelli with a view to using Leandro Trossard from the bench. I'd take Gabby Jesus out of the team. I know he had a big impact in Arsenal's first goal the other night, but I feel like Kai Havertz is the one that is giving the team overall more at the moment. And so I would play him up front. I don't think against Chelsea, with the talent that they have, you can afford to play the Rice, Odegaard, Havertz midfield. And I think that Havertz has established himself as one of the must picks in Mikel Arteta's side at the moment. So he plays up front for me with Saka from the right. Also as well, like I just feel like for Kai Havertz, he probably feel like he's got a bit of a point to prove. And what better opportunity to do that than to do it against the club that, okay, got good money for you in the end, but for whose supporters have been really, really, really anti you and have been sort of really critical of you and have been telling Arsenal fans that actually, you know, they basically pissed £65 million up the wall because they decided to buy you. He's had a good season overall, I would say. He's had to be versatile. He's had to play in roles that maybe don't suit him perfectly. But in the last few months where we've seen him more often playing at centre forward, I think we've seen a better version of Kai Havertz. And I think he should start this game up front. So for those of you listening on audio, my starting 11 to face Chelsea this evening would be as follows. David Raya in goal. White, Saliba, Gabriel and Tomiyasu would be my back four. Jorginho, Rice and Odegaard would be my midfield trio with Martinelli and Saka playing either side of Kai Havertz up front. My prediction for tonight's game is going to be Arsenal 2, Chelsea 0. I'm going to go with Arsenal to win. I'm going to go with another clean sheet and I'm going to go with another 2-0 victory. I did predict the 2-0 victory at Wolves, by the way, on my preview show, and I forgot all about it. And so when I did the review show, I didn't even gloat about it. And then somebody pointed it out in the comments, so thank you for that. I'm going to remember my prediction tonight. I'm going to go Arsenal 2, Chelsea 0. Anybody got any questions or thoughts, please drop them in the live chat, and I'll pick up a few of those before I disappear. I'll be down at the Emirates Stadium later covering the game for BBC Radio London. Really looking forward to getting back behind the mic for that one. I'm massively bunged up and it does make the job a lot more difficult when you keep feeling like you're talking like this, but so privileged to do it that I don't want to be somebody that complains about it. So I'll just get on with it. I'd be at the game anyway, no matter how sick. So, hey, it is what it is. Okay, AJ says, just on the subject of Thomas Partey, is it just me or does anyone feel like Partey's regressing and should be sold this summer? I wouldn't go as far as saying he's regressed. I still think he's the same player. I just think that fitness levels are not there. And the question is, how long is it going to take him to get back to that point where we're looking at the Thomas Partey of last season? And the answer is, if it's going to take a hell of a long time and there's even doubt as to whether he can ever get there, then in the summer, you have to move on from it. But for now, we could do with him. And we could do with having that alternative option to Declan Rice, because I just feel like we've put so much pressure on Declan Rice to perform week in, week out. And I know we've paid a lot of money for him, but that doesn't make him a bionic man because he cost a lot of money. That's not how it works. And I fear for a lot of these players, which is why, going back to the point I made earlier about Pep's comments, I think we always, as a football community, kind of need to stand together on this, because Declan Rice is going to go and play at the Euros. And then next year, we've got this expanded Club World Cup thing. And, you know, it just feels like the football's just constantly coming, and there's domestic cup competitions, and then you get people upset that maybe certain teams are not taking that competition or that competition seriously enough. But how can you actually demand players play as much football as we're doing right now and still expect the level to be at the best level it can possibly be, and then be surprised when injuries are sort of mounting up? I just don't get it. Kurt says Partey's not fully match fit and simply behind Jorginho right now. He just needs to find his rhythm and get up to speed. Jamie says, up the Arsenal, Harry, my question is, do you prefer Declan Rice in the Xhaka role or the DM role? It's a really, really good question. If you'd have asked me before we signed him, I'd have said definitely in the DM role, 100%. But then I look at sort of the fact that Declan Rice is having his best ever goal scoring season, is impacting Arsenal moving forwards. I think maybe sometimes in the very difficult games against a very stubborn opposition, maybe Declan Rice lacks a bit of guile and creativity to play as a left eight, given the attacking responsibilities that we give to those players. But I think a lot of the time he can overpower you. He's a powerful runner. He seems to have a decent shot on him from the edge of the box. So I think a lot of the time you can get away with him playing in that position. But if you ask me what is his absolute best position, then for me, it's the DM role. It's the six role. And the point I'm trying to make is that if I'm going into the summer with a view to spending a substantial amount of money on another midfield player, I'm probably prioritizing bringing in an eight, rather than a six, because I think that Rice is slightly better at the six. And so that's where his home in this team would be for me. Jid says, Havertz hasn't been good, but he hasn't really been otherworldly. He's exceeded the expectations of those who were not happy with us getting him, but he isn't rotation proof. I'm not saying he's rotation proof in terms of the level of his performances. I don't think anyone is, with the exception of maybe three or four players in this team. But I think he clearly is more robust than most. And clearly he's dealt with the vast amount of games we've played better than most people, which is why he's constantly picked. So I agree with you. He's not rotation proof. But if you're asking me tonight, like, so I've already explained that I don't think he should play midfield tonight because of what we're up against. So then if you're asking me whether I'm picking him, Jesus, or Nketiah up front, I'm picking him because I don't think Jesus has been particularly effective in front of goal throughout this season. I know he's had his injury problems, but, you know, the numbers tell us, and even the underlying metrics tell us, that Gabriel Jesus hasn't been his usual self. He's told us that he's playing through pain, and maybe that's impacting his performance. The point I'm trying to make here is that I just think of the options that we have at centre forward currently, he's still the best one. But I agree with you, he's not been otherworldly. Who has, though, in recent weeks? Because I don't think Saka has. I don't think Odegaard has. I don't think Saliba or Gabriel have been. And these are the players that you would normally put in that bracket. So I think it's an issue that we have right across the team at the moment. Zed Tom says, while I agree Kai became very useful as a target man, could it be worth trying last year's attack of Martinelli, Jesus and Saka? They're probably not expecting this. Look, I wouldn't be annoyed if that attack was selected, but I just think that Martinelli's not at the same level that he was last season. Jesus is carrying a problem that is clearly impacting his performances, and Saka looks tired too. So on paper, it looks like a good front three. But is it going to deliver anywhere close to the level that we saw last season? Probably not, would be my answer to that. Jude's got another question. What do you think is Arsenal's best front three? We have so many options at the moment with Saka, Martinelli, Jesus, Trossard and Havertz. With so many options and goals, why would we get another attacker? Because I still think we lack that out-and-out centre forward. Now, I'm not saying that we need to go and spend even 150 million and bring one of these world superstar centre forwards, because I don't think generally as a team we lack goals. I think you're right to point out that we've got a lot of options, but I do think we need a slightly different option available to us. I think that Eddie Nketiah is more of a box striker than any of the other options that we have, but I think he lacks the physical presence and that killer instinct when you need him to really step up. So for me, you could go out and spend 30, 40 million on an out-and-out centre forward. He might not start every week, but just to have that alternative option is something I'd quite like to see us sort of work towards. So my favourite front three, when everybody's fit and firing at the moment, is Havertz up front more than Jesus currently. I wouldn't have said this last season, currently. And then Saka and Martinelli, because I think the directness and the pace and all of that that those two guys bring you is really important. But they've not quite been at the same level in recent weeks. And Martinelli, I would argue, has not been at the same level all season. So that's what's opened the door, I think, for Leandro Trossard to get more game time and for Mikel Arteta to try different things. John Daly says, would you bring on Timber for the last 5 minutes of every match if we're winning so he gets a winner's medal? Yeah, of course. But let's not get carried away talking about Premier League titles yet. Who would you say is Chelsea's biggest threat to us, with Cole Palmer potentially being out? I mean, I know he's had a lot of crap over the last few days for his inability to finish, but I think Nicholas Jackson is a threat. Hear me out. I know you're probably screaming at your devices going, what on earth is he talking about? The reason I say that is because I think he's somebody who runs the channels well, gets into all the right spaces, and maybe just lacks that killer instinct in front of goal. But the chaos he causes, it's a bit like Darwin Nunez in that sense, right? They cause chaos, they cause trouble, they stretch people, they pull people apart. And whilst very often, because they're forward players, the microscope is on their finishing ability, there's other things that they bring to the team that do create opportunities for others, that do create spaces, and they do create a lot of opportunities for themselves. Nicholas Jackson falls into that bracket for me. So I'm worried about his runs and the way he could potentially stretch us. And, you know, just hoping that he's forgot his shooting boots, just like he did at the weekend. Okay, guys, I am going to leave it there. Thank you all so, so much for joining me, as always. If you're listening on audio, please do leave us a review. It really, really does help. If you're watching on YouTube, leave a like, subscribe, all of that. It's really, really important. And we'll be back with a review of the Chelsea game on our next episode. Not exactly sure when I'm going to record that. It'll either be really late tonight or first thing at the crack of dawn tomorrow morning. I'll let you guys know. But yeah, stay tuned. Arsenal Chelsea review coming up, and hopefully we're talking about another 3 points and Arsenal having applied the pressure and done their job, done their bit in the title race ahead of the North London derby at the weekend. I'll catch you all soon. Until the next one, take care.